as much as we try to wrap our minds around that, I think to whatever degree we are able to, we still fall short of the absolute comprehension of just how vast those heavens are. That is the throne of God. Where did you think he was sitting?
The earth is but his footstool.
You know, the footstool is not an object of intense honor. You sit around at the dinner table and put your feet on the table while everyone's eating and see how they feel about you making their dinner table your footstool. The feet are considered unclean. I mean, they're dirty. Not technically unclean in the in the religious sense, but they're a dirty part of the body. Don't put your feet on my table. Well, God has his feet on our earth. Back to these elders.
They're clothed in white. White denoting purity, holiness, cleanliness. The gold, the riches, denoting honor, position, authority. The same things that they denote in our society. Why do we clothe brides in white? Why do kings wear golden crowns? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. I think that's so cool. When I did the album, my album for the Revelation, I had those thunderings and voices and lightnings. I mean, what did that sound like? It must have been a terrible sight. Striking fear. A sense of awe. And there are seven lamps burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. As I said earlier, I'm going to simply take the seven spirits of God as a indication of the perfection of God's spiritual dominion. Over all the matters of spirit, he is in complete dominion. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. So in front of the throne there's a sea of glass. All that means is that the floor, now that's the description of the floor, it was like a sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, so deeply involved with the throne, connected to it directly, around it and in it, are these four beasts. They're a part of the throne. Now they're called beasts. The Greek word is zoa, which means living creatures or living ones, these life forms. Though a beast is not a bad description, honestly. It's not the same word that you get in chapter 13 when it says, I saw the beast coming up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. That's a different kind of beast.
There, the word is therion, which means a wild beast. And so while all beasts in the therion sense, if that's how you pronounce it, could be considered zoa, not all zoa are therions or wild beasts.
These beasts, they are creatures. And it says in verse 7 that the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So they are animal in nature, at least in their appearance. They are likened to animals. They're like a lion, like a calf, has a face as a man. So these are all the orders of the higher beasts. In the scriptures, the crawling things, the lizards, were given a very low order. Because in our, the lion, the calf, and we have the predator, the prey, the man, and the bird. I remember I used to see where they thought these were related to the four gospels. But I always thought they got it messed up. I think they had marked down for the eagle or something like that. But I think this order here is pretty much the same as the order of the Gospels. The lion, Matthew, presents Christ as the king. The calf, Mark, presents him as the sacrifice. Luke presents him as the perfect man. And the fourth, the eagle, John, above all the other Gospels, presents Christ as God. But whether or not that is intentional, or if that's just an accident that man picks out of that, I don't know for sure. But
these creatures are described also, at least very similar in Ezekiel, when they are also carrying the throne. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they are full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. That's right, they are full of eyes. What does that mean? They are full of eyes within. Four beasts full of eyes before and behind and within. They have eyes. They see all things. That's what I think that means. They see all. Before, behind, within. The piercing gaze of the creatures which bear the throne of God. There are various theories about what these things symbolize, if they are symbols. And even if they're not symbols, they probably have some sort of symbolic meaning, too. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I've memorized this chapter. I've memorized the book of Revelation, and I don't know. Their exact signification has never been revealed to me. If it isn't revealed to us, it doesn't do any good for our fleshly minds to begin intruding into it too deeply. And what do they say? They say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He was, he is, and is coming. He was God. He was the God you read of in the Old Testament, in the New Testament now, which is past. He was God. And he still is God, even now today, as hard as that might be to believe for many people. And he is coming. He will be God again. Not just in reality, but also in the minds of men. He will place his dominion upon the earth, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sat on the throne, and worship him who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The words of the 24 elders. So they throw their crowns down. The symbol of right to rule, of power, of glory. Crown. What symbolizes power more? What does a crown symbolize rather than glory, honor, and power? But God, who has created all things, is worthy. And even those whom God counts worthy know that they are not worthy. Because our worth comes from his grace. If we are worthy of anything, it's because God was gracious to us to make us so.